So as Steve mentioned earlier, we've been going through the book of Acts this summer, and we've seen the Holy Spirit doing amazing things in and through the disciples of Jesus. It's been centered around Jerusalem up to this point. All of what they've done has happened inside of Jerusalem. But remember that Jesus, just before he ascended into heaven, told his disciples that the gospel would go forth, and it would go from Jerusalem to Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So they were doing a good job in Jerusalem so far, but hadn't gotten outside the city. Jerusalem was a comfortable place for the disciples, full of people that were like them, and it was easy to share among those people. So they were going to need some help to get out of the city. They were going to need some pushing. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit begins to do. The Holy Spirit, after Stephen has his sermon, and he gets a lot of the religious officials upset. So Stephen is executed, and a great persecution breaks out against those followers of Jesus. And the apostles then are forced to leave the city. And they go into different places. We're going to follow Philip because he is who we're reading about today. But Philip goes to Samaria and he preaches the gospel there. It would be an uncomfortable place for him. For any Jewish man to go to Samaria would be uncomfortable. But he's faithful and he preaches the gospel there. And that's where our story picks up today in Acts chapter 8. Philip is in Samaria, and we're going to read starting in Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Before we read that, though, let us pray. Holy God, we thank you for your word today. We pray that through your Holy Spirit, you might bring it to bear on us and reach deep within our souls today with your words. Speak to us, O Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Philip is in Samaria, and this is what happens. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to his chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now, the passage of scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So we find a lot going on here in this story about Philip and the Ethiopian. What I want us to look at first is the way the Holy Spirit is pushing Philip. The Holy Spirit pushes Philip to Samaria to start with, where he preaches the gospel, and we hear several things going on there. Then the Holy Spirit pushes him even further out of his boundaries. You see, Philip, like the rest of the apostles, had been comfortable in Jerusalem, working inbounds, so to speak. He was around his own people in Jerusalem, the Jews. He knew what they thought. He knew the questions they would ask, and he knew the answers. Those were the people that he understood, and he was comfortable there. But the Holy Spirit pushes him outside that comfort zone to Samaria, and now to the road to Gaza, down in the wilderness, it says. There's nothing there, and as I understand, there's still not much there. Someone following the early service this morning checked on their phone, just looked up directions from Jerusalem to Gaza, and it says there is no way. Like, doesn't even come up with options. There's nothing. So it is in the wilderness, but there is a road there, and that's where he finds this Ethiopian eunuch. The Holy Spirit pushes Philip geographically to this location, but then pushes Philip even further when he says, go up to this entourage that you see in front of you. So that's not something Philip would have probably come up with on his own. As he looked, he could have seen this chariot and the other people along with the Ethiopian eunuch. He wouldn't have come up with this idea to talk to an important official who was from a land far away like this. That wasn't something Philip would have decided on his own. Somebody so entirely different from him, very likely the Ethiopian was dark-skinned, coming from Africa, from a long way to the south. And Philip could have seen that maybe from far off and known that this man comes from a completely different culture, a completely different world. It turns out that the Ethiopian had been influenced by Judaism. We don't know how or why, but he was returning from Jerusalem where he had worshipped God. So he, at least, we think he was what they call a God-fearer. In those days, that was a person who was not Jewish, but came to believe in the God of Israel. And so for that reason, he was in Jerusalem worshiping. Now, Philip wouldn't have been able to tell this. He wouldn't have been able to see this from far off. So he has to go up in faith as the Holy Spirit commands him. Wouldn't it have made more sense for Philip just to stick with the people that he understood and that he knew and that he could relate to the best? Wouldn't that make the most sense? Well, not with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has a different plan already in place. The Holy Spirit pushes Philip, and I believe the Holy Spirit also pushes us to cross boundaries. Even though we don't find ourselves usually naturally attracted to people who are different from us, I think the Holy Spirit pushes us to cross boundaries and reach out to those who are different from us. Think about in your own life, maybe this is something the Holy Spirit's already done with you, where you've crossed boundaries of some kind and you've built relationships with people that are different from you. Maybe it's something the Holy Spirit is still wanting to do with you. Think about some boundaries you might cross. Your neighborhood or your part of town, for you to build friendships and relationships with people from other parts of our city. Maybe it's a racial boundary where you build a relationship with someone who physically looks different from you. Maybe it's religious. How many people do you know who don't have the same religious beliefs as you? Maybe they have a different faith or no faith at all. For me, that's one of the most convicting boundaries. It's easy for me to surround myself with people who believe just like I do. There's other boundaries, economic boundaries. What would it look like for you to be in a relationship with somebody who comes from a different financial background. Or a big one these days, politics. What if, gasp, what if you got to know someone who voted for the other person, who's on the other side of political issues? What would that look like? Now, what I'm saying doesn't mean that we have to write out on a little cardboard sign, "I'm looking for people who disagree with me," and then stand out in the HEB parking lot and wait and see what happens. Actually, that's probably not going to work anyways. I've seen they've got more and more security guards out there. You wouldn't last very long, I bet. But I imagine that for each of us, if we really think about it, God already has put in place some people in our lives who are different from us. Maybe it's our family. Maybe it's friends, co-workers, people that would require us to cross a boundary for us to reach out to them. I would encourage you to sit down with a person like that God leads you to. Sit down with them and open up, share with them, let them share with you, listen to their story and see what God does with it. God, I believe, will bless the both of you as you have those conversations. And if the Holy Spirit in that moment provides you with the opportunity to talk about Jesus and to share the good news, then take the opportunity, like Philip did, obediently, take that opportunity and share Jesus with the person. If you find out they already believe in Jesus, then great. You can hear their perspective, what it means to believe in Jesus from whatever other boundary they're across on the other side. This is not something that comes naturally to us usually, so we need some help. We need the Holy Spirit pushing us. One way that we can prepare ourselves for that is to encouraging you to think about doing something like this. Listen to a newscast from another channel or another radio station, another podcast, or wherever you get your news. Listen to something from the other side. Not so that you can get all angry and upset and mad and that's why I don't listen to these people, but for you to hear and begin to understand a little bit, not for you to change your mind necessarily, but for you to hear and begin to understand a little bit of what the other side is thinking. I think that will prepare us for when the Holy Spirit does push us across those boundaries and gives us opportunities to talk to people on the other side of something. So what boundaries might the Holy Spirit be wanting to push you across today in your life? The good news is that when the Holy Spirit does this and pushes us across a boundary, we're not left alone. The Holy Spirit comes with us. In Philip's story, we see the Holy Spirit orchestrating all of these different details together to bring about God's purposes. Philip is not pushed out there and left alone. The Holy Spirit remains with him. Think about these details the Holy Spirit has put together in this story. Philip goes from Jerusalem to Samaria, and then he's told to go down to this road. He's probably very likely never been there before. And he finds the road, and there's the Ethiopian. Boom, right there at exactly the right time. And then think about from the Ethiopian's side of the story. He's going down this road, and this guy comes out almost like from nowhere and shows up right at the time the Ethiopian is reading the scripture that prophesies about Jesus in Isaiah. Isaiah, if you've not read it, it has 66 chapters. It's rather long. 66, right? I think that's right. Somebody could check that, maybe. No, it's long. Whether it's 66 or not, it's long. But he just happens to be reading this scripture about Jesus. And he doesn't understand it. And the Holy Spirit tells Philip to go down. All the Holy Spirit tells Philip is for him to go down to the chariot. And so Philip goes down. Of course, the chariot's moving on the road. So Philip is here, and he hears the Ethiopian guy reading Hebrew scriptures. So where would he have even learned to read Hebrew? We don't know. But he's reading this scroll that, by the way, scrolls of any of the scriptures were very difficult to get your hands on in those days. They typically resided in the synagogue and never left. So the fact that he even has a scroll of Isaiah is an amazing work of the Holy Spirit right there. And there's Philip, and he runs down there, and the Holy Spirit has the Ethiopian reading this particular scripture, and then the rest just kind of flows out. The Holy Spirit doesn't have to command Philip to, okay, now you talk about Jesus. But Jesus is living inside Philip through the Holy Spirit. So it just flows out as the opportunity comes up for him to share about Jesus. And the Holy Spirit remains at work in that the Ethiopian begins to believe. He comes to believe in Jesus through this conversation. And he says, hey, there's some water. How about we stop and you baptize me? First, they're in the desert, and there's water. So the Holy Spirit has made the water to show up at just the right time on the road there for Philip to baptize this new believer in Jesus. So it's an incredible coordination of details the Holy Spirit brings together for Philip and for the Ethiopian here. Maybe you've experienced something like this. I don't know. Maybe some of you have been on that road, but I'm thinking a little different from this story maybe, but ways you've seen the Holy Spirit at work in your life. Maybe you've responded to a little push or a little nudge from the Holy Spirit for you to bring about spiritual things in a conversation with somebody. And you've obeyed. And you've begun to talk about these things a little bit, and you find that it's not nearly as scary as you thought. The other person was actually kind of thinking the same thing, maybe. And then you realize you're talking about things that you didn't even know that you knew. And when this question comes up and you have an answer, you're like, oh, I didn't even know I knew the answer to that. And you speak. It's the Holy Spirit that's doing all of that through you. We find when we go to Uganda and we share the gospel from house to house there in Uganda, we find these very things to be the same. We'll often realize that long before we ever got to speak to this person, the Holy Spirit was at work in their heart, preparing them for that day that we got to their house and spoke with them. And we get together in the evenings and we share our stories, and we find out each one of us has experienced things so similar in so many different homes. Finding the Holy Spirit orchestrating all these details together to bring about God's purposes. So don't be scared when the Holy Spirit starts to push you. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't just drop us off in this new location and say, good luck. The Holy Spirit sticks with us. Just as he orchestrates all those details for Philip, he'll do it for us too. Imagine the difference this would have made in Philip's life. As he leaves from that place, snatched up once again by the Holy Spirit and put in another location, Azotus, going up the coast of the Mediterranean Sea there. He was a new disciple almost. Knew in that after this experience, he was stronger, a better evangelist, more confident because of his experience on the Gaza Road. Philip could have thought something like, well, if the good news is for somebody like this Ethiopian, this eunuch, who almost couldn't be more different from me, Philip might say, then the gospel must be for everyone. As his perspective has opened up, the Holy Spirit has worked in Philip just as he's worked in the Ethiopian. So my prayer today is that the same would be true for us. As the Holy Spirit pushes us out of bounds, as we encounter others who are different from us, as we see the Holy Spirit working in them, and as we see the Holy Spirit working in us, as all these things are happening, may we grow into stronger, more effective disciples of Jesus, sharing His good news to the ends of the earth. Amen.